Well, good morning. We'll see how warm it gets. It is nice that we could change our arrangements and get here at 11. Appreciate that flexibility for certain. And saw a lot of energy from my song leader. I thought he might hold back a little bit today. I know you can perspire pretty quick with that kind of assignment. So, in order to help us in our calling, God has given us a handful of spiritual power tools. Bible study, meditation, prayer, and fasting. Most of us are quite familiar with the first three, but how much do you know about fasting? Just like starting our days off with prayer and Bible study usually leads to a better day in terms of how we deal with stress and adversity, periodic fasting connects us to God in a way that just doesn't happen if we use it but once a year. Today, we will look at the fundamentals of spiritual fasting and how to become better at using this spiritual power tool. What is fasting? In its most basic sense, to fast, according to online definitions from Oxford Languages, is to abstain from all or some kind of food and drink, especially as a religious observance. When we are in bed asleep, we go without any food or drink. That is fasting. That is why the first meal of the day is called breakfast. We are literally breaking the fast. However, when people speak of fasting, they usually mean a longer period of time deliberately abstaining from food and drink. It can be a whole day, a part of a day, or more than a day. Intermittent fasting has become very popular due to the many positive physiological effects it has on its proponents. Fasting for us, for the purpose of this message, is what we call a spiritual discipline, something that we discipline ourselves over for a spiritual benefit. Today's title is Better Spiritual Fasting. Most of us do recognize fasting as one of our spiritual super tools, along with prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Christ taught that fasting is an element of your personal relationship with God the Father. Unger's Bible Dictionary explains that fast is from the Hebrew word sum, S-U-M, meaning to cover the mouth, or from the Greek word, and I'm simply going to spell it, N-E-S-T-E-U-O, meaning to abstain. The meaning in both the Greek and the Hebrew terms that we find in the scripture mean to either close the mouth, in other words, not let food in, or anything, or to abstain from that. Fasting was used to afflict oneself during the Bible's only commanded fast, that on the Day of Atonement. The writings of James discuss the importance of afflicting and humbling ourselves as we draw near to God. You can find that in James 4, verses 7 to 10. I'll read off a lot of scriptures today. We'll only turn to a couple. So most of my scriptures being referenced will be just that. They'll be reference material for you. Fasting is a spiritual tool which enables us to afflict and to humble ourselves before God. Fasting is an important tool to help you discover God's purpose and presence in your life. Now let's take a few minutes to look at some of the fasts mentioned in the Bible. Again, I'll just give a brief description of the event and the reference scripture for your notes. When his country was being invaded, King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 3. At the preaching of Jonah, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Jonah 3, verse 5. To beseech God for his protection, Ezra claimed a fast for all the exiles returning to Judah. Ezra 8, verses 21 to 23. Esther requested that all the Jews in Shushan fast so that they would be spared from the genocide. Esther 4:16. So, as we see, there can be many reasons to fast in times of serious trouble, as we pretty much just saw, a personal problem, a difficult to overcome sin, facing a major decision, a church crisis. Jesus made use of fasting to prepare for a time of testing, as recorded in Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2. Fasting can be done for various lengths of time, as we are about to see. It can be done completely abstaining from food and water, like we do when we observe atonement. The Apostle Paul fasted like this after his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. He remained blind for 3 days, not eating or drinking until his sight was miraculously restored. Acts 9, verses 8 and 9. Mordecai and Esther, as we just mentioned, fasted 3 days without food or drink over the plight of the Jews. Again, Esther 4:16. Moses fasted 40 days on Mount Horeb before God gave him the two tables of testimony. Exodus 38, verses 28 and 29, during which time he ate neither bread nor drank water. Another kind of biblical fast involves abstinence from certain kinds of food. The prophet Daniel fasted in this way, mourning 3 full weeks, while he ate no pleasant food, nor meat, nor wine. Daniel 10, verses 2 and 3. Keep that one in mind. We'll reference it a little bit later. Other biblical fasting examples simply say a person fasted. Cornelius fasted 4 days, Acts 10, verse 30. David fasted several days over his dying son, 12, verse 16. And we'll reference that scripture again later. Turn with me now over to Isaiah 58, if you would. Here we will look at a series of verses recording both an improper approach towards spiritual fasting, as well as the approach requested by God and the benefits for doing so. I'll start with Isaiah 58, reading verses 3 through 5. God explains that fasting is not to be for selfish pleasure or gain. God takes no pleasure in our going without food and drink to beseech him for selfish gain at others' expense. God will not take note of someone fasting with a wrong attitude or a fast undertaking a fast of no spiritual significance. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the days of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? This is God dialoguing here. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it a bow down? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread out sackcloth on his ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord. Here we find 4 reasons why God did not find their fast acceptable. They fasted for their own pleasure. During their fast, they mistreated others. They fasted for strife and debate. They approached fasting as if they already knew God's will, what he wanted, and hoped that God would punish those who disagreed with him, with them. And 4, they fasted to make their voice heard on high. The people of ancient Judah weren't fasting to hear God's word, but to try to get God to hear their words. This kind of fasting is not acceptable to God. It was really just a show to others. There was nothing spiritual about it. So if fasting isn't a way of appeasing God into doing your will, or to force others to do what you want, and if God doesn't want us to hunger and thirst because he likes to see us suffer, then what is it that God hopes to produce in our fasts? Well, first you have to ask yourself, am I willing to suffer physical hunger and thirst as a way to face my spiritual hunger and thirst for God's presence and purpose in my life? Only then can you begin to understand the real reason why Jesus wants his followers to fast. Experiencing physical hunger and thirst is a way for us to acknowledge and experience spiritual hunger and thirst for our relationship with God. Back to verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? Now we can see right here how God defines a really true spiritual fast, to loose the bonds of wickedness or lawlessness. In other words, to bring us into a better walk with God, to undo heavy burdens, life can become quite burdensome. Fasting should help us draw close to God and to be more spiritually minded and less physically minded. And, as a result, to let the oppressed go free, he says, and that you break every yoke, to break the yoke of bondage that besets all of us from time to time. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to have care and compassion for other people? That, again, is a frame of mind we should come to, as a result of the spiritual discipline of fasting. He goes on, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Notice the last part of this verse, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. This refers to our children. When our fasting draws us closer to God, he motivates us to renew our relationships with our own children. True fasting produces a humble willingness to actively love others. Fasting should help us to establish a better, deeper relationship with our Creator, and therefore translate into better relationships with our friends, our family, and our fellow man. This is what God says a fast that is truly spiritual should produce in our lives. Verse 8 explains the end result. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. By humbling ourselves and seeking God's will, we are able to see any mistakes that we may be making in our own relationships with one another and with God. Once we repent of these mistakes and are reconciled to God and our fellow man, then we are ready to do God's will without the shackles that bind us and the burdens that cripple us. Fasting is an important tool in repairing your relationship with him and releasing his will into your life. Many have struggled with various problems and sins for years and even decades. Some have become spiritual casualties. Fasting helps to prevent this tragedy. When we humble ourselves through fasting, God takes note of us and will respond. Verse 9. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from our midst, a pointing of the finger and the spread of wickedness, if through fasting we can clean up our thoughts towards one another, we can clean up our language and the words we speak. Less gossip, less criticism, less finger pointing, at least of the finger towards someone else, letting God show us our faults, and then doing something to change our lives. Then that's what fasting should do. This is what's being shown to us here. And then verse 10. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. In other words, we are not going to be stumbling through life ignorant and deceived. We're going to know our God better, and our lives are going to be enriched as a result. And the people with whom we interact are also going to benefit from that. That's what fasting should help us to develop. Let's recap. What can we walk away with up to this point? Fasting can be done for various lengths of time and with various combinations of abstinence from food and water, and all liquids for that matter. When it comes to biblical fasting, the spiritual discipline, we want to be very careful that we don't enter it thinking that we are going to bend God's will to our will. That is not the purpose of spiritual fasting. It is to help us discern God's will in this world for us in our own lives, and of course to draw closer to God. God's will is what's important to understand, not that we fast to bring God around to our ways and our way of thinking. A really true spiritual fast is, again, to loose the bands of wickedness or lawlessness. Again, to bring us into a better walk with God. What can we do to improve our spiritual fasting? First, we need to understand Christ's statements are plain and simple. In Luke 5, verses 33 to 35, he says, his disciples will fast. but he did not specify when or how long or how often. As Paul amplified in Romans 14, verses 5 and 6, fasting is an individual concern between us and Jesus Christ, who is our judge. Why don't we turn there just for a second, Romans 14, 5 and 6. So you might recall this really is about fasting. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord that he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that give, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So I do have the old King James Version there, as you noticed. That was sort of a spontaneous read, but I thought I'd recall it. I don't remember reading that in church for quite a while. So, anyway, it definitely is a personal matter with Jesus Christ, who, again, is our judge. Okay, so there is no question, though. We absolutely need to do it. Then we need to make sure our purpose is crystal clear, the purpose of our fast. The primary purpose in fasting is to draw near to God, to seek his will and direction, and to try to understand his purposes for us. We're not fasting to receive or obtain the benefits. We're fasting to hear more fully and to understand what he wants for us. It's also appropriate to have secondary purposes in fasting as well. Beseeching God in prayers for help with one or more serious needs for ourselves or for others. Again, we must never view fasting as pressuring God to get what we want, as we have read before in Isaiah 58. God wants us to pray about our problem, but not try to dictate the solutions. Our attitudes should be like that of Jesus Christ when he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," Luke 22:42. Next, we really need to see fasting, spiritual fasting, as a tool. As with most tools, they take time. It does take time to learn how to use them properly. They then require regular use in order to gain and maintain proficiency. Fasting is the same way. If your very first fast is one you jump into with no water and no food for 24 hours, you might really find fasting to be more than a mild affliction. Fasting for most people is approached gently. In order to make sure we are all moving the same direction, all together, let's point out very clearly what is expected on our part during a spiritual fast. In addition to some form of abstinence from food and liquid, we are to spend a lot of extra time in prayer and Bible study. Ideally, we should spend most of the waking part of the fast period praying, studying, and reflecting. If this is not possible, the very least we can do is just that during the extra time when we ordinarily would be eating. For someone new to fasting or just wishing to build a better baseline, you could fast just by missing a meal and going without water and food for a shorter period of time. You skip eating lunch, but you take that time and you study your Bible and you pray while you are fasting during that time period. And of course, the idea is to build up where you can go 24 hours without food and water, and to actually have that as sort of a model fast in your life. So, with this understanding, could we grow closer to God if we were to skip just one meal and spend that time in prayer and Bible study? If we were to prepare spiritually for a spiritual meal during that time, could we have a proper spiritual fast? The answer is yes. Partake of God's word, study God's word, and take it in. Drink in that spiritual nourishment that God can provide to us. When deciding how long to fast, consider when the time is right and that you can be truly devoted to the process instead of trying to squeeze it into an already hectic schedule. Fasting of any length should be approached as an all-important tool to draw closer to God. The length of time someone fasts should always be the length of time that is right for them. Remain flexible. Of course, you'll have a goal in mind when you start, but if things get a little rough, don't be afraid to bail. It's okay. Your body will give you signals. Severe pain and discomfort may mean you have attempted too much too soon. That's all. While a 24-hour period is the most common length for fasting, any amount of time can be chosen depending on your particular situation. Okay, what if you are now ready to skip two meals and fill in those times as stated above? Well, I suspect you'd learn a little more. You might start thinking, how could I make this a little less afflicting? If you are a coffee drinker, you might start weaning off of coffee a few days or even a week before your planned fast. You would probably start to realize that going into a fast properly hydrated is a good thing. Some people also try to cut back on sugar and other carbohydrates, as a lot of the distress we endure during fasting is really the result of a sugar addiction not being satisfied. Another option is a partial fast, such as that mentioned in Daniel 10:3, again where he was mourning for 3 weeks. Here he takes in only as much food and water as necessary to be safe and spends extra time in prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Remember, he ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine. This too can be very profitable spiritually. Okay, now we're ready for a full Day of Atonement 24-hour type fast. What should we expect when fasting this way? We will get hungry. We will get thirsty, and we are often a little less energetic. But it reminds us that we're physical, and that's a good thing. And in the reminder that we need food and water to sustain our physical life, it teaches us a very important spiritual lesson or spiritual discipline that we need a spiritual dimension to our life. We need a relationship with God. We need the spiritual bread of life, the Word of God. We need to be close to Him. Humility, being humbled through fasting, will help us to understand the need for spiritual humility. The humbling experience of fasting and doing so periodically, coupled with prayer and the study of God's Word, will help you fill that spiritual thirst in your soul. God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You can find that in Matthew 5, verse 6. In addition to reinforcing the fact that God is the one who sustains us and supplies all of our needs, an important lesson of this is that we rapidly become weaker spiritually when we neglect the nourishment of prayer and Bible study and all other efforts to be God's spiritually transformed sons and daughters. Disclaimer time. Some people do have serious health problems that might make it difficult for them to fast. Others have found that it is necessary for them to take small amounts of liquid or food with required medications, such as insulin-dependent diabetics. The church urges everyone to exercise good judgment and not to endanger his or her health. Anyone with a life-threatening illness or other serious medical condition should consult with a qualified medical practitioner before fasting. All right, so we've got some fundamentals down, we've got a possible plan, and we have a good idea of what to expect. Is it possible to mess this up? Well, yes, but mostly by attitude. Jesus made it clear that if we fast to show off, to appear to men to be fasting, we are hypocrites, and that we will have no reward from God. Let's turn to Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus did not mean that it is always wrong to tell someone that you are fasting. Often there's a practical need to tell somebody, your wife, your spouse, or perhaps you're even fasting with someone. Jesus was talking about the necessity of right motives and attitudes. Reading Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Jesus also spoke a parable in which a proud Pharisee bragged to God, "I fast twice a week." That's in Luke 18, verses 9 and 12. The man imagined himself to be already humble and was proud of it. Fasting with such a conceited attitude is worthless. How do we know if we're fasting successfully? If through periodic fasting, if by fasting with the right intent, not to bend God to our will, but to bring us closer to understand the mind and nature of God, then he says again, Isaiah 58, verse 8, "Your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." In other words, God's grace, God's guidance, God's care will go before us and follow us, and follow on afterwards. It represents here a complete, total relationship to God of our life with God that brings blessings, not only to ourselves, but because of our improved relationships with others, because we've been humbled through a spiritual fast. In the same manner, when we fast, we humble ourselves before God and submit ourselves to him. Consider the words of Ezra. "I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God." Ezra 8:21. The physical act of fasting is also a spiritual exercise to focus our thoughts on the change of heart and mind that should be taking place within us. We submit our lives to him. We obey his commands and instruction. We trust that he will always act upon our requests according to what is good and best for us. Let's recall a time in David's life when his attitude was correct in regards to fasting. Again, referencing back to the story in 2 Samuel 12:16, David fasted as a way to humble himself before God as he implored God for the life of his baby. David fasted to prepare himself for God's will. He implored God to save his baby, but when God didn't, David was prepared to accept God's decision, trust in God's love and wisdom, and worship him. Winding down, fasting is an individual matter between Christians and God, helping us to humble ourselves and draw nearer to him. It brings us into a right mental and physical relationship with God to help us to know his will and to seek his answers to our prayers in time of need. Fasting draws a Christian into a closer relationship with God. Though the body is deprived, the mind is drawn near. The mind is drawn near to him. As a physical man is put to death by fasting, the inward spiritual man grows stronger, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:16. If we use fasting this way, as a means to submit ourselves to God, in humility, to request healing and relief from health problems, we can be confident that he hears and carefully considers our prayers. Yet if we are humbly subject to his authority over our lives, we will also accept his answer, as did David, to our requests, even when the answer is no. We find that the Apostle Paul talked about his frequent fastings and prayer in order to draw close to God. So it is something that a disciple will be doing also to draw closer to God, anticipating that God will also draw close to us or pay attention to what we are talking about. Successfully fasting shows you that you can exercise control over your desires, wants, and passions. Mastering your appetite for basic sustenance gives you greater confidence that you can move forward in controlling those passions and desires that do lead you into sin. Brethren, since we are physical, fasting can be a very difficult challenge, especially living in a society that promotes indulgence. However, fasting is going to become an increasingly important tool that each of us will need in order to remain strong in these end times and draw close to God for the spiritual strength we need. But But as with many things that are of great value, unless you try it and get into the habit of it, you won't know how much you're missing. Hopefully you now understand the fundamentals of spiritual fasting and how to become better at using this incredible spiritual power tool.